It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed of the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
And here we are, John, back again on WSIE Edwardsville, the Financial Cafe. How are you doing this morning?
I'm living the dream, Larry. How are you?
Sunny side up.
Well, happy anniversary. I don't know if you realize this is our 10th episode.
Happy.
So they keep inviting us back. I will note, though, that on the disclosures, it might be easier for them to just say that the views, our views, do not represent anyone else in their right mind, as opposed to going through the whole list of different people that it doesn't represent. Might make it easier for them.
Might make it a little easier. I'll make that suggestion.
I appreciate that.
We have such a scintillating topic today, John.
Hey, this is my world. This is what I love to do. This program today is more targeting or geared towards the business owner, any trustees or HR manager, anyone that's part of the company 401k plan and its administration to the participants.
So this applies to someone who may have a small company and they are the employer and the CFO and the payroll and HR, and they do it all.
And they offer a 401k plan to their employees. They are absolutely what we can call a fiduciary. And if you recall from one of our previous 10 episodes, that a fiduciary, when you're in that position, anything you do has to be in the best interest of the, I would call it, the beneficiary or the participant or whoever your affairs you're overseeing. And that's the standard that you're held to. So what we're going to talk about today is, if you are considered a fiduciary for the company 401k plan, what are the things that you need to make sure you have? Because when the DOL comes knocking, they don't give you a whole lot of time to pull everything together to show them that you are acting in the best interest of the participants and running the plan accordingly.
It's pretty simple, though, isn't it, John? I mean, you know, you just sign a couple of documents, set up the 401k, you send your money in. I mean, you're pretty much done at that point, right?
I mentioned that the government's involved, right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, so when the government's involved, unfortunately, it's not that simple. There are lots of regulations. We just had a whole new fiduciary rule passed in April this year. But what we're going to talk about, since Larry and I do this for our clients, we prepare and maintain the what we call our fiduciary binder, which is essentially a very thick binder that we keep all these items, documents, reports, notes, and so forth in the binder for the client. That way, if the Department of Labor decides that your plan's going to be audited, you can just hand them the binder and then call us to then work with the Department of Labor to make sure that everything's okay. Broad topics or items, table of contents of our binder, we have the annual planning section. We have education planning, the investment lineup materials, the fiduciary review, and the last part of the binder is the administration documentation, contracts, and agreements. And we'll go through each of these and talk about the components that are in each one. The annual planning is pretty simple. Basically, we are trying to work with the trustees to say, okay, what do we want to accomplish this year with the 401k plan? If we have a lot of new employees, maybe we want to focus on enrollment and 401, you know, general 401k education. If it's a well-established workforce, maybe we want to then have tailor the meetings and education and so forth to increasing the contribution of the plan participants. But essentially, you have a planning calendar, which lays out the 12 months, when we're going to have our meetings, when we're going to hang posters, when we're going to have the investment review, the annual plan committee meeting review. If the client is having a difficult time deciding, I'm not sure what I want to talk about, we provide them with a topics of interest checklist to say, okay, here's some thoughts, some ideas that we've seen in the past. Do any of these seem appealing to you? And finally, we lay out the committee goals. What does the committee, as we mentioned, want to accomplish with the plan?
So do all plans have this information?
No. I would say the majority of 401k plans out there probably are not working with a co-fiduciary and probably do not have the items that we're talking about. However, I would expect that to be changing very quickly with the passage of the fiduciary rule. That's coming. The deadline for that to be implemented is coming up here very fast. And I would expect that our industry will shrink as far as number of service providers, and it would be a it will benefit the business owners and so forth, because they will have better service and have these type of materials ready for them.
So if I'm the employer, the plan sponsor, how do I determine if I'm working with the right person to who can help me to provide this type of information for the plan and therefore be in full compliance?
The easiest and quickest way is you can get what we call a fiduciary letter, and the registered fiduciary or dalbar.com has a nice quick little letter that you can hand to your advisor and ask them to sign it. Basically, that is getting them to declare whether they are a fiduciary or not for you. If they are serving in that co-fiduciary capacity, more than likely they are doing these things for you because they're on the hook with you. Unfortunately, there are many ways that they try to hide this. There are fiduciary warranties that a lot of companies offer, and so forth. And when you read into the fine print, as with any contract, they really don't cover a whole lot, and they don't offer the protection that a true 321 co-fiduciary offers.
So do large plans typically have this?
Yes. And actually, large plans are starting the trend of putting their plan out to bid, which is something that we'll get to. But essentially, you know, when you're a business owner, you have various contracts, and every so often you put the contracts out to bid to see if you can get better price, better service. The same should be done with the 401k plan. And large companies are now actually putting their plans out to bid on an annual basis. The guidelines are periodically, so that obviously with the government is very clear on how often you should be doing this. But we have always recommended every 3 years. When it does require, if you decide to change the plan provider and so forth, it does require blackout periods. And that becomes problematic, which is why we say that, you know, it should be done every 3 years. The plan should at least be benchmarked against industry averages annually. And if, you know, say in year two of your new contract, all of a sudden, as we expect, we fully expect the pricing of these services to come down greatly. We're already seeing when we run proposals that the bids that we're getting from other providers are way below the industry averages now. And the industry average is a lagging indicator. So eventually that will catch up to where we are. But yes, 401k services are improving and prices are coming down dramatically.
So now wait a minute, John. What you're telling me is 401k plans and investments are getting less expensive?
Larry, you're playing devil's advocate with me today?
Would I do that?
No. My wonderful wife does. And I have to say that you're giving her a run for her money here.
I do my best.
Okay. So the question was, as I was trying to ignore you.
The question was, plans are really getting less expensive?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, everything else. Look at the price of food. Look at the price of energy. Look at the price of anything. It's gone up and out of sight.
The government tells me on those issues that there's no inflation.
I know. Well,
okay.
But the government lies.
In the 401k world, yes. There are several years running up that we were waiting for this fiduciary rule to pass. And during that time period, the writing was on the wall. And prices have come down and have become more competitive because of the fiduciary rule, which says everything you do has to be in the participant's best interest. If you are a broker dealer, you know, quote unquote, advising on a 401k plan, and you're getting paid, you know, 1.5%, when there's someone out there doing it for 75 basis points or half of that, you either got to change your price or lose the client. So that is what's driving, you know, the registered investment advisor group and this fiduciary rule are driving the prices down to where they should have been all along. I mean, a lot of people were making a lot of money off of 401k plans.
So let's talk a little bit more about this binder. What else would I expect to see in there?
Let me put my eyes back on here. Okay, so the next section in our binder is education planning. This covers a wide range of ways of doing the education, and every little thing you do counts, and everything that you do should be copied and placed in the binder. So when you have group presentations, if you work with a large provider of these services, they will come out probably once a year, and they will do what we call a dog and pony show, PowerPoint presentation that talks about asset allocation, the benefits of saving for retirement, and so forth. That falls under the group presentation. You want to have a copy of that PowerPoint that was provided. You want to have a sign-in sheet. Who attended the meeting? Make sure that's in there as well. If you have individual meetings, some providers, and they're going to be the fiduciaries, will offer one-on-one meetings where they have a sit-down. We do this. We have a sign-up sheet, and then we have a sign-in sheet. And then we also have a two-page document that we fill out as we speak with the participant. This is confidential. It stays with us. It never gets shared with anyone within the company. But if we come back again the next year and we sit down with Larry and say, so how are things going? Last time I see we talked about this. Did these changes get made? It's a way to build a relationship and so forth. But it's also a CYA for the advisors that, you know, these are the things that we talked about. The enrollment meeting. You probably do enrollment meetings depending on the plan document. Could be quarterly, monthly, annually. But you want to have a sign-up sheet. Any of the materials that you hand out during that meeting, you want to make sure are copied and placed in the binder. And then simple things like posters or payroll stuffers, anything that is sent to the participant that provides information about investing, retirement, or 401k plan, all counts towards the education, and you want to make sure it's all documented and copied and placed in your binder.
And participants definitely need education. I was at a meeting, a re-enrollment meeting yesterday with a local company, and we had about 12 or 14 people there who have been in their 401k plan 5 years or more, and we talked about what are their expectations for the near future, and the number one concern was the election. They felt that anytime there's an election that the market tanks. And short term, it may see an upturn or a downturn, but historically, as last week's show indicated, since 1934, there's been 18 presidencies, and 9 of them were Republican, 9 of them were Democratic, and the return for the Democrats was a little over 11%. The return for the Republicans was a little under 11%, looking at time periods after they left office. So it doesn't necessarily have a direct correlation to what the market is doing. I'm not sure there is anything that has a direct correlation to what the market is doing. But there was need of education. There were some younger individuals in the meeting who have probably 30 years or more before they retire. So they needed help in terms of choosing investments, in terms of providing information on how much they should be putting away towards retirement. To talk about IRAs and other 401k plans, another show from the past where we talked about if you've terminated employment, what do you do with your 401k? So we talked about all of those things. That is all education of the participant, and that is something that is required to be done periodically. Again, there's that word, with the plan to make sure that they're taking full advantage of what's going on.
All good information. The next section that we talk about, this is the one that draws probably the most attention. This is the investment lineup, reviewing the investments with the committee, depending on how sophisticated the committee is. Doesn't really matter. The committee members will be held to the standard of you should have known. And that can be scary. So when you are signing on to be part of the investment committee fiduciary to the 401k plan, you're going to be held to the standard of someone who should have known better or someone who should have known in that position that you have. So when you're selecting your committee members, make sure you're getting the right people into that meeting. One of the most important documents will be the investment policy statement. The DOL will come in. Actually, when we do our fiduciary reviews, this is one of the first documents that we ask for. Let me see your investment policy statement. The very next question is, show me all the documents and your process that shows that you adhered to the investment policy statement. You are not required to have all 5-star funds in your lineup. You're required to make sure that the funds that are in your lineup are chosen by a prudent process and you have held and stuck to that process. You don't want to have your criteria be so stringent that you're constantly changing funds because then the participants lose confidence in the plan. But at the same time, you don't want to have it so loose that you have this, you know, behemoth of a fund that has been trailing every other fund in the world for 10 years. The DOL is not going to like that very much. So the investment policy statement is a very important document. You're going to need to make sure you have your committee meeting notes. We provide a template for each of our meetings. We enter what we're going to be talking about, and then we take notes throughout the meeting. And then we identify what is the follow-up from the original meeting. And then throughout the course of the year, we make sure that we have addressed all the follow-up items. We make sure that the notes and everything that we have are complete, and a copy of that ends up in a binder. The annual investment review. This is probably the larger portion of the investment review, the most in-depth. But this says, okay, these funds are no longer approved. They don't meet the criteria. We have given them the amount of time that we have stated that we would on a watch list, and we need to make a change. And here are the funds that we suggest. And once that's selected, all that paperwork and documentation needs to be copied in and put into the binder to show that.
Sounds like a full-time job to me, John.
It is. It is. If you're an
HR person,
I made a career of it. But if you are an HR person, this isn't something that you're going, no matter how big the company is, how many resources you have, you're going to have the time to do this. This is why you need to be working with someone who knows what they're doing and has the resources to make it very efficient.
I think there's definitely calls for a coffee break. I'm about to doze off over here.
Am I killing you with my excitement?
You're killing me with your excitement, John. Today we have one of my favorites. It's called the Snickerdoodle, of course, from the Chef's Shop in Edwardsville. We talked to Scott the other day. He was in, and Nancy was there too. And we're coming up with a few ideas for the fall, so we'll keep you posted on those. But the Snickerdoodle is their original award-winning Snickerdoodle and is their best seller by far. They've blended the spicy flavors of cinnamon and hazelnut for smooth, aromatic coffee. Or I guess it's aromatic anyway. But it's good. I like
it. Easy for you to say?
It may be, but not today. So
It's been a week, hasn't it?
It has been a week. Chef Shop, located in Edwardsville in the Schnucks Plaza next to Target. Telephone number 618-659-9840. Or you can email them at chefshop@prodigy.net. That's chefs.shoppe@prodigy.net. Stop by. Maybe you'll get a sample of something or other while you're there and get a little coffee. But Snickerdoodle is one I would definitely repeat.
I'm going to unfortunately have to go back to my dislike for hazelnut. But all in all, it's I'm drinking it. But I'm just not the hazelnut kind of guy. So, but I would recommend, even if you're not a coffee fan, the Chef Shop has remodeled somewhat. And they have added a wall of candy and some other homemade candies to go along with their incredible fudge that we may have bought some when we were in there last time.
May have, yeah.
So how much time do we have left on today, Larry?
We have 10 minutes left.
Okay. Well, why don't you since I have been so riveting and exciting, why don't you go through the administration portion of the binder, and then we'll wrap up with the fiduciary review.
All right. We'll save the fiduciary for last. The administrative portion of the binder is an area that most people don't understand. They really don't do a good job keeping up with it, but I'll run through a few general topics. There really are three levels of responsibility dealing with the administration on the plan. You have your named fiduciary, which is a person who is named in the document as having the ultimate responsibility for acting only in the best interest of the plan participants. You have the plan administrators, sometimes confused. They are appointed by the named fiduciary, and they take on all the duties and responsibilities assigned to the plan administrator in the document and under ERISA. And you also have some limited delegation areas where they take on specific duties, again, designated by the named fiduciary and or plan administrator. That would generally be a separate agreement. The plan sponsor and named fiduciary retain all duties and responsibilities that are not specifically delegated. Let's put that in English. You have a trust.
Thank you.
You have a trustee who is the fiduciary to the plan, whether they want to be or not. There generally is a plan administrator. In smaller companies, that typically is the payroll person, maybe HR, someone who works in benefits, and they may have people who work with them who handle some of the day-to-day duties. But some of the other general areas, administrative procedures and appointment monitoring of other fiduciaries, involve appointing the chair of the administrative committee, someone to act as a 338 investment manager, potentially, someone who would select and appoint us, for example, as a 321 investment advisor to the plan. There are other services that they have to perform, receiving all of the notices. We're coming up on notice time November this year, where we send out the 408B2 and 404A5 participant and trustee fee disclosure notices. There are 404C notices required to be sent out. If the plan is safe harbor, there's a safe harbor notice that has to be sent out. If there is automatic enrollment notices and increase memos have to be sent out. So there's a handful of six or eight memos or notices that have to be provided to the participants, either through email if they have email addresses that are specific to them and they have to monitor them for business purposes, or they have to be hand-delivered or mailed to them to be able to be informed, hopefully they read them, about the plan and its operation. On plan installation, there is a trust document. It's about a 65-page document. There's an adoption agreement. There's also a summary plan description, which is the plain English version of how the plan works. If you have a plan and you really don't understand it or know how it works, go in and ask for the summary plan description. It will give you a basic, about a 20-page document, gives you a basic understanding of who is eligible for the plan, when they become eligible, how much money you can put into the plan, what the employer is contributing, when you can get your money out of the plan, do you have loans, do you have hardships, do you have different other features, all of which can be selected typically by the trustee overseeing the plan related to that. And then when we come down to the end of the year, whatever the after the 12th month of the plan year, because they are not all calendar year plans, but after the 12th month, then there is a filing requirement called the form is the 5500 used to file welfare benefit plans, qualified plans, and certain other types of plans that have to be sent into the IRS and the Department of Labor. And that has to be done within 7 months of the end of the plan year, with a potential of extending another 2.5 months to when the deadline would be to send that in. The penalty for not filing it or not filing it on time is steep. You can run up to as much as $15,000 in penalties fairly quickly if you don't file a 5500 or you don't file it in a timely fashion. And unfortunately, we find a lot of plans that come to us after the fact haven't filed their 5500, and we have to go through what's called a voluntary compliance program with the Department of Labor and go in and fill out a stack of about 1.5 inches of paper documents explaining why it wasn't filed, what the circumstances were, what's being done to make sure it won't happen again, documenting that it is now currently being filed, and they have to pay a fee, typically starts at $750 for a late filing, to get the blessing of the DOL and not pay an additional fine related to that. If there are changes in the company, then everything gets to be updated. We have one company right now. They've sold off. There were two companies in the plan. They've sold off one. The plan document will have to be amended to take the second company off as a sponsor and to change the FEIN number. That's the Federal Employer Identification Number, for those of you who are not aware of it. And then a summary plan description and a summary material modification have to be issued to all participants indicating what has happened. So I have four pages, which is generally single-spaced and full of specific items that have to be done in the administrative capacity. So,
Please go through each one.
When someone asks me what we do and how we do it and why we get paid for what we do, I'll just hand them this four-page summary and indicate what their responsibility is and what we are responsible for. And between the two of us, we'll make sure it all gets done.
And you had the nerve to say that you needed a coffee break on my material.
I know.
And
sorry.
Then you come in with that. Let me just say my stuff was way more exciting.
It's my life, John. How can I say?
Okay, folks, wake up. We're back. John's back on. We're going to do the fiduciary, the last part of what we have in our binder. We have what's called a fiduciary checklist. And this checklist identifies all the items that need to be covered in the course of a year. And we provide, you know, when it was done, what were the next steps, when the follow-up was done, and so forth. The annual plan review, as we talked about, that's part of the fiduciary review. The fee benchmarking, once a year we do it against the industry averages, and then every 3 years we are putting the plan out to bid. If we do come in with a proposal that offers, you know, maybe minor savings over where they're at now and the change is not made, we will decide, we will have to make notes as to why we retained the plan, what our thought process was. That way the Department of Labor will understand that, you know, we were acting in the plan's best interest. Fiduciary acknowledgments. This is an important one that I don't see very many plans have. But essentially, it's each member of the committee, each trustee or each fiduciary sending a letter. So one person will send out a letter to everyone else saying, you are a fiduciary. Please sign this noting that you accept the fiduciary responsibility and what's expected of you. And then as a 321 advisor, the agreement that you have, the advisory agreement, should also be in the binder. That way the DOL can look to see that as your advisor, we are adhering to what we said we're going to do and so forth and honoring our contract.
I think the fiduciary acknowledgement is key because I was talking to a good friend of mine lately. He's a college buddy. And he was asked in his new position, his job he has taken, to serve as a fiduciary to the qualified plan that they have at his new company. And he was asking me what that meant. And I said, well, they didn't provide you with anything? He said, no. I said, well, it means you have a lot of liability and a lot of responsibility. And if you're going to do it, don't take it lightly. So he may be asking for a list of things he'll be expected to do and consider whether or not he is willing to take on the additional liability and the additional roles, because if he has the responsibility and no authority, that's not a good position to be in.
I agree. And folks, please note that what we are talking about today are very broad bullet point items and topics. There are lots of different scenarios. Each case is individual. You may have where the company offers employee stock, which sets up a whole new checklist of items that you have to go through. But we covered today what a typical 401k plan offers and the types of materials that need to be documented in a binder to be fulfilling your role as a fiduciary to the plan.
So the bottom line, John, if I may, is these things can all be done. They can be documented, and it's really about document, document, document. It's process and procedures, making sure that you have your checklists and you check them twice, and you keep the binder up to date with all the required information. So when the DOL or the IRS comes knocking, you can hand it to them, and they'll know that you are making best efforts to comply with all of the legal requirements of having a plan, and everyone can save for retirement, and someday they might even be able to retire.
Absolutely. And last but not least, make sure that you have your advisor sign that fiduciary letter acknowledging that they are fiduciary to the plan. That way you know that you're working with someone that will serve in the best interest of you, the other fiduciaries, and more importantly, the plan participants.
Such a great topic, John. Maybe we'll be back to this on another visit down the road. But in the meantime, thanks to Scott and Nancy at the Chef's Shop. located in Edwardsville, sampling the snickerdoodle today. I like it. John's kind of so-so. They're located in Schnucks Plaza next to Target. 618-659-9840. Go in, check out all of the renovations and new things that they have going on. They're great people. They love to take care of all of our clients, and we love going in there ourselves. So that's about to the point of wrapping up the show for today, John. We will take it up next time. Thanks to WSIE for bringing us back and having us on the air. We hope you enjoy it just about as much as we do. So signing off.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.